Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for making it all the way at 8:15 in the morning. I hope you guys didn't party too hard on the first night. So this is running Linux workloads on Azure. Key takeaways for this session are if it runs on Linux, it runs on Azure. Keep it really simple when you take it back to your company's business stakeholders. And we're specifically going to have a look at a bunch of Azure technologies, which are cross-platform. So they work for Windows and Linux, but we're going to look at some of the Linux specifics of those as well. So who in the room's used Dev Test Labs? Nobody? Good. Teach you something new. Operations Management Suite? One, two? And we'll skip there. Have you tried to troubleshoot a Linux VM on Azure? Anyone? All right, so hopefully we're learning all new stuff. Very small crowd, so just interrupt with questions as we go. Just raise your hand. Don't worry about a mic or repeat the question for the recording. So my name's Ken Thompson. I'm an Azure technical specialist, part of the Global Black Belt team at Microsoft, and I look after open source software solutions for customers and partners on Azure for customers and partners in Australia and New Zealand. I came from Red Hat, so that's kind of my background is Red Hat Enterprise Linux, OpenShift, Docker and Kubernetes. It's kind of my subject matter area. I run the Kubernetes and Ansible meetups in Melbourne and help out a little bit with the Sydney stuff as well. And I'm a keen gamer. Up here is my Retro Pi arcade, of which I'm building far too many, according to my wife. Latest project is trying to squeeze one into a NES cartridge so I can port it around to my mate's place. So speaking of Raspberry Pis, very important that you do your Ignite feedback survey, but I have a little open source survey going of my own and giving away some Raspberry Pis and some shirts and stuff. So if you go to aka.ms/OSSfeedback, that will take you to the form. We're really keen to get your feedback on, you know, what you do like and what you don't like about running open source workloads on Azure and what we can do to help you. So let's start with kind of Microsoft's strategy around open source and Linux. Since we've launched Azure, we've always supported Linux. We started with Ubuntu when we launched infrastructure as a service. And that's grown rapidly now. We'll go through kind of all the distributions we can get. But ultimately, it's about choice and flexibility. So we've got some really great Microsoft first-party tools like Visual Studio Team Services and Windows Server and .NET, etc. But we understand a lot of people don't use Microsoft technologies for particular components in their stack or maybe their whole stack. And we not only want to support that workload on Azure, but we want to make it run really great. So in terms of how we're approaching that overall, it's kind of four pillars to that strategy. So the first is about enabling open source technologies to run as first-class citizens on the Azure platform or all Microsoft platforms. So that starts with running Linux virtual machines, so supporting a wide range of distributions that you might want to use. But it's also things like Azure App Service, which is our platform as a service suite of products, and it's about supporting open source languages in that. So we don't just support .NET in platform as a service, we also support Java, Node, PHP, etc. But supporting Linux VMs by themselves isn't particularly exciting. It's pretty much an expectation of everyone that we do that. What's more interesting is the integrated solutions that we're building on open source technologies. So this is things like Azure Container Service, where we provide your Docker orchestration engine of choice, so Mesosphere, DCOS, Kubernetes, or Docker Swarm, the kind of three most popular open source Docker orchestration engines. They're not well known for being easy to stand up. It's quite complicated to get a full cluster stood up in any of those technologies, and we make it pretty easy. Go into the Azure portal, fill in some details, press next, 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 and just magics it for you. We've also got similar kind of capabilities with Azure Cache, which is using Redis Cache under the hood, so we stand up a Redis cluster for you. That's one of the most popular open source solutions on the platform at the moment. And we've got things like Hadoop. So we have HD Insights as an offering, which provides you a Hadoop cluster as a managed service. And we're also releasing products into the open source ecosystem. So we're taking products like PowerShell and .NET, and we're redeveloping those and open sourcing them and releasing them into the ecosystem. So, you know, very different change of approach for Microsoft, but I think something that's really working for us and really giving you guys the tools that you want to use on the platforms that you want. So for example, open sourcing PowerShell, you know, a big thing about that is people use Macs and people use Linux desktops and they want to program and use Azure on those platforms. So it's like, great, we'll give you those tools on those platforms that you're using. So we're coming to you with the tools that you want, where you want. And we're also participating in open source projects. So Linux kernel, we're a big contributor to OpenJDK. We've got a massive partnership with Docker Inc. doing a lot of contributions there. And including both the contributions to the ecosystems outside of Microsoft and also some of the components that we're open sourcing. We're now, you know, the largest organization, the largest number of individuals contributing in a single company on GitHub, which is, you know, massive. You wouldn't have expected that of Microsoft 3 or 5 years ago. So I think it really talks to how much we're embracing open source. It's not just lip service. We're really getting in there and open sourcing some key products from Microsoft and contributing to some really, you know, significant projects in significant ways. All right, so to get started on running Linux workloads on Azure. So there's three main ways that you can run Linux workloads on Azure. The first is you can provision Linux distributions from the marketplace. We have pretty much every distribution available. I'll go through them in a second. So all the major distributions that you would expect, RHEL, SUSE, Ubuntu, and also a lot of you know, more niche ones. We just released CleanOS from Intel. We've got a bunch of container platforms like CoreOS and Rancher. You can obviously bring your own image. So if you've got a standard operating environment on-premise and you want to bring that into the cloud, you can package that up and bring that as a custom image into Azure, same that you can do with a Windows VM. And I'll go through in a couple of, one slide, what are the four main things that you need to do to that image to prep and bring it to Azure. And then we'll also support a bunch of solutions from Docker, so you can also run solutions just as Docker containers. So you don't necessarily have to spin up VMs or bring your VM if you're packaging code in Docker format. We support the Docker format across nearly every Azure Compute service. So whether it's on virtual machines, Azure App Service, Azure Batch, Azure Container Service, pretty much the wherever you can run a compute workload, we support Docker as a packaging and deployment mechanism. So the four things that you need to do to bring a Linux virtual machine to Azure. Firstly, you need to ensure that you've got Linux integration services on your VM. If you're running a recent kernel, you probably don't have to worry about this. Like if you're running, for example, RHEL 6.6.6.7 above, this is already in the kernel that's shipping with that distribution. And all the Linux integration services are our drivers. So these are the Hyper-V drivers. So these are the same drivers that you would need if you're running on Hyper-V on-prem. So they're just enabling us, you know, to take advantage of all the virtual CPU, virtual memory, network, et cetera, in an efficient manner. Next, you will need the Microsoft Azure Agent. So that is, we've got instructions up on the docs page. So if you're creating an SOE image, chances are you've probably got Linux integration services installed on the kernel if it's recent. So you'd really only need to add the Microsoft Azure agent. And that agent is going to allow us to do configuration on the virtual machine, run virtual machine extensions, get IP addresses that it's been assigned from the platform and stuff like that. You'll need to turn off any static IP, ensure DHCP is configured, and then you just need to export as VHD, not VHDX, if you're on Hyper-V, and then upload that to Blob Storage on Azure, and then you can start provisioning virtual machines from that. So in terms of endorsed distributions on Azure, all the big names, if you're using enterprise workloads, typically we see RHEL, SUSE, or Ubuntu are the main kind of variants that people are running. But we also support CentOS, Oracle Linux, which is a requirement if you're running some Oracle workloads, and then container optimized stuff like CoreOS, Rancher, and ClearOS from Linux recently. If we look across, I'm focused the talk on Azure, but if you look across all our product portfolio, especially, a lot of on-premise products that I don't personally look after, we have a lot of support for these distributions across the stack. So it's not just in Azure. It's also, on Hyper-V, VMM, an interesting distribution up there, which you mightn't have expected, is Amazon Linux. So we support Amazon Linux in Operations Management Suite. So we'll go through Operations Management Suite in a bit, but essentially we support Linux and Windows in Operations Management Suite, and we support workloads whether they're on Azure, other clouds like AWS, including AWS's own Linux variant, and on-premise. All right, I'll just tie up my shoelace before I fall over on stage.
So a question when you put that in.
Yeah. No, so Operations Management Suite is, you can think of it as the software as a service evolution of what System Center suite of tools are. So it's about managing workloads. So basically we put an agent inside an AWS Linux VM. So it will still have to run on AWS. But if you've got VMs on AWS or on Google or on-premise, you can still manage those with OMS. And so if it's on AWS, it could be some of those supported distributions like RHEL or SUSE, because they're all the same kind of regardless where you run them. But we also support AWS Linux as a variant there. Yeah. And we'll have a look at some of the four kind of main capabilities OMS provides. All right, so let's start off with DevTest Labs. All right, is everyone using Azure here? Is anyone not using Azure yet? A few? Okay, cool. So before I kick into DevTest Labs, just briefly on this is the Azure portal. So very customizable, easy to, get to the things that you want. You can just drag kind of these resources and these widgets around. So you can create a dashboard that has, particular stuff that's of interest to you. Of interest to me is not getting in trouble with my manager for spending too much every month. So I've got my burn rate of my Azure subscription up on my dashboard, so I know how much I'm churning through if I haven't turned any workloads off. but you can really pull in kind of widgets from any resource. You can link them directly to the virtual machines or resource groups that you might want to manage, through to monitoring metrics. And we can also create different dashboards. You might, if you're looking after Azure for your entire business and there's different projects, you might want to create different dashboards for different projects and so on. So going here, I've got a different view, and then that's obviously customizable per user.
So is that OMS suite separate from
OMS Suite is integrated into the portal, so we'll have a look at that shortly. But this is just the, when you go to portal.azure.com, this is the first page you see. This is the entry portal to Azure. So DevTest Labs, by the way, if you haven't got your widgets here, just scroll down to the bottom, and you can search for services like that. If you star them, it'll add it into your favorites bar here. So let's go into DevTest Labs. So DevTest Labs does two main things. It helps you accelerate deployment, so accelerate development and test for your teams, and it also reduces friction from the business by providing controls around what images people can use, what VM sizes people can use, and how much cost they can run up. So I've already got an environment spun up. It's pretty easy to add one. I think you just have to give it a name and a location. So an Azure region where you want to provision it. And if we go in, this is about providing developers and testers in project teams with on-demand access to resources, but in a controlled manner. So the first thing we can do, so I've already got a virtual machine here. So as a developer, I can create a virtual machine. We can also provide, there's a claim here. So I can create a pool. So rather than them provisioning it when they want it and need it, I can provide a pool of VMs that are ready to go at the start of the day, and they just claim their VM and start using that development environment. And some of the nice things we can do other than just creating a virtual machine is what we call formulas in DevTest Labs. So a formula is a combination of a virtual machine. So I've restricted my base images here. We'll have a look at that in a sec. So let's say I want to develop on CentOS 7.3. So we can create a formula, and a formula is a combination of one of these base images and then an artifact. So in the artifacts, we can do things like install, similar to virtual machine extensions, which we can do outside DevTest Labs, but we can install Docker containers, we can run Docker containers, we can use apt-get or yum to install packages for the developer. So say we're getting a standard image from the marketplace, the standard CentOS or RHEL image, and my developers are developing Java, and I want to grab that image. I always want to get the latest one that Azure provides because we keep it up to date. And I want to install, Java or PHP. And then I can specify that here to install. to install particular packages. And then we've also got some other support here around Node, Mongo, and a bunch of other tools. So pretty flexible then. So rather than your developer, they order a VM, they wait a while typically on-premise, we're accelerating that process in Azure because they can now just get it on demand when they need. But then we can make it even faster because often they'll get the VM and then they've got to install like all their dependencies to start actually doing their work. So here we can kind of standardize that image, that kind of construct without creating a golden image that we need to update and maintain ourselves by leveraging the marketplace images that Azure will update. And then providing the dependencies you want to install. So let's have a look at how we can control images. Another nice thing is we also do secret management in here. So I've used it for my SSH key. So you can put kind of whatever secrets you want, and we can inject those into the virtual machine if you need to log into corporate resources or provide some kind of keys and passwords to access stuff. So that basically is a nice, it's a very nice interface actually to Azure Key Vault, that we're looking to bring out of Dev Test Labs and then available to all our infrastructure as a service. So you'll see, like in Dev Test Labs, we'll go through another feature shortly, which is the auto shutdown, auto schedule feature. So you'll see often that we've got some features that are being developed in Dev Test Labs that then we bring out into every virtual machine can take advantage of them because it's quite popular. So if we go into configuration and policies, this is where we can I can restrict the virtual machines that are being used. So from the marketplace, I've selected these ones. I don't want my developers using BizTalk server for Linux development. It wouldn't be too practical. But you've got all the marketplace images, the fully supported marketplace images here. Just select the ones that you want your development teams to use, and that's all they'll get access to in Dev Test Labs. Equally, we can bring in our custom images. So I haven't got any uploaded, but if I had a standard operating environment that my teams use, I can upload that and make that available here. And another cool thing, which I think is here, we can add repositories. So repositories can be for like GitHub-based projects. So they can provision RHEL, and they could have a choice of different GitHub projects that get automatically pulled and installed on the VM when they provision it. But we can also, I think since November, we support Azure Resource Manager templates. So prior to this, you could only provision like a single virtual machine on Dev Test Labs. But now we support Azure Resource Manager templates. So Azure Resource Manager template allows us to define a whole environment. So I could have, you know, a three-tier LAMP stack with a MySQL server, a front-end server, and an app server, and I can define that as a logical resource group and provision that on demand for developers as well. So not just restricted to single VMs. Yes, we do. So just above here, we've got schedules. So schedules, you can schedule automatic shutdown and automatic start time of your environments. So you might want to start them at 8:30 so they're ready for when people to get to work, and then shut them down at 6 in case people forget to turn them off. So this is the feature that It was only available in Dev Test Labs, this auto shutdown, auto shut off feature, but we've made this available now for all VMs. So if you go to any VM in the portal now, let's have a quick look. You'll be able to set that for any VM. So I've got a Jenkins server here, and you'll find this down here in schedule, so we've got the auto shutdown on these standard VMs outside of Dev Test Labs too. So if you have a regular VM that you use to hack away or a jump box or something, you know, might forget to turn it off, you can enable that here. So just for the shutdown, not for the automatic boot up though. So the other thing we can do when we do an auto shutdown or auto boot up, we can call a webhook. You want to email someone, notify someone, put an alarm up. I think we also send that notification 15 minutes before. So if you want to make sure someone's not doing something important, you can trigger an alert so that they can be informed of that. So I've done schedules. So the other thing we can do is we can restrict what machine sizes people are using. So we can put, if your project's got you know, like most projects do, a fixed budget, and they've got a portion that assigned to spend on IT resources. You can kind of work backwards and determine how many developers they have, how many virtual machines they're going to burn through that budget on, and then we can restrict. Restrict what sizes developers have access to. So probably if you've got a small budget, don't provision on G-Series because they're our GPU-based bigger compute VMs, and you might want to restrict them to the smaller standard A sizes. So it provides you with one level of cost control in the project, and then we can take that further and restrict the number of virtual machines either a user gets or a lab gets. So you can think of a lab as a project. You would create a lab for a project, so we can restrict the total number of resources people are consuming. And then we've also got some cost trends. I don't think I'm running a VM in here. Oh, yes, I am. So we can have a view of cost trends and cost by resource. And again, this is like a widget or a tile I could bring into the portal when I log in. So I don't have to log into Dev Test Labs to see this. So that's Dev Test Labs. Before I move on, any questions on Dev Test Labs? All good? All right, so next is Operations Management Suite. So Operations Management Suite has four main features. As per its name, it is a suite of products. It's not an individual product, but they're just kind of individual services on Azure. So they are integrated and they're easily accessible together. So the first is backup disaster recovery. So we provide Azure backup. So we'll go through enabling a virtual machine for backup. Really easy on Azure. You can also use it for on-premise virtual machines. And we also have Site Recovery Manager, which is our disaster recovery tool. So that will enable you to migrate or do DR scenarios from on-prem to Azure, from other cloud providers to Azure, etc. And that'll basically automate the replication of data, and then you can fail over when you need to, or stop replicating if you migrated in. We have Azure Automation, which allows you to run basically PowerShell runbooks on demand. If you're not a superstar at PowerShell, which I'm not, I know nothing, we have a visual runbook builder, so you can literally drag and drop commands to, you know, get virtual machines in this resource group, and you can do things like shut them down. So you could shut them down on your own kind of schedule through PowerShell, and we make that really easy to create those runbooks. Another feature is very popular is Log Analytics. So this is probably kind of the hero product of the Operations Management Suite. So we can ingest logs from any VM on other clouds, on-premise, and obviously Azure. So not only do we ingest all the logs and provide a search mechanism through those logs, we can then trigger alerts on specific events if they keep recurring. And we also have a bunch of add-ons in the OMS solution marketplace. So things like container add-ons, security add-ons. So they're going to take the same logs and then give you more insight into them. So rather than just having a bunch of logs that you can search through, which is very useful, we provide a little bit more smarts and insights for particular things. So we can look for particular security events or patterns on a number of servers and then highlight you to that. And then we have Security Center as well. So we're going to have a look at all of those. So we'll start with recovery services. So I've got a recovery service vault. It's basically just defining where I'm backing my stuff up to. So where you want to have the storage account that you're pulling those backups to. So in here we'll have a couple of options. Replicate is around that site recovery manager capability in terms of replicating a disaster recovery. I don't have another on-prem site to connect to, so I can't show you that, but we have got the backup here. So if you've got, let's just click in there. So here we can specify, where's my workload running? Azure on-premises. I haven't got an on-premise to connect to, but I think it might provide us some options here, and then it'll provide you some information on where to get the backup agent, how to install it, and how to connect it. But if you are running in Azure, we automate all that for you. So you just tell it what backup policy you want. I've got a default one which backs up every day at 8 o'clock at night, keeps the retention for 30 days, and then I can just go and select virtual machines in particular resource groups. We've also just enabled this directly in the virtual machine. So let's go back to my Jenkins demo. So you don't have to go into the backup area to do this. If you've just got a couple of VMs that you want to back up, where have we got this now? Backup. So you can now access this directly from the virtual machine pane itself. So we can create a new vault. And that'll go, and yeah, it's basically configuring that VM for backup. That's all I need to do. If we go back, here, which reminds me, okay, I do have some back. That's good. All right, so I've already got some 9 virtual machines backed up. So in here, we can see all the virtual machines that I'm already backing up, the status of our latest backup, what's the latest restore point, etc. And we can come in here and we can restore the whole virtual machine. So we can spin up a new virtual machine based on the backup image that we took. And for Linux, we've just released a preview of file recovery, so you don't need to restore the whole VM now. We can give you access to restoring just individual files from that virtual machine. So if you screwed up a config file and you don't want to restore the whole VM and then copy it out and copy it back, we've simplified that for you now. So that is almost back up. So I won't go through anything else there. So next is the Azure automation. So so you create an automation account in here. I've got one which does a automatic shutdown of all the virtual machines in my subscription. So it's using PowerShell to go and say, dynamically get all the current virtual machines in Ken's subscription, and it does a shutdown at 6 p.m. at night, and then it does another one at 11 p.m. in case I'd booted something up when I got home to work on. So very flexible. Anything you can control in PowerShell, you can control here, which is pretty much anything. So if we go into Runbooks, so here we can see the PowerShell logo. This is a standard PowerShell runbook or script, but we've also got some visual runbooks here as well. So let's have a look at what they look like. So this is the visual runbook. So this is going to connect to Azure, get the account that I'm going to run as. It's going to get all virtual machines in a group, and it's going to shut them down. So if I wanted to add components in here, it's pretty easy to search for them and then just add to Canvas, and I can drag things around and connect them for my flow. So let's try and zoom in there. And then very easy to pass parameters and stuff in as well. So you don't need to be a PowerShell guru to create automation runbooks and take advantage of that. And to make it even easier, we have a marketplace in here. So we have a gallery. So if you're in runbooks, you can go to browse gallery. And there are a bunch, so we can filter to whether we want scripts, graphical runbooks, and we have official runbooks from Microsoft. But we also have community contributed ones as well. So a bunch of stuff in there. You can get pretty standard stuff like start, stop, send an email. So if an event happens and you want to trigger an action, you can do that in here. So that is automation. So next up, let's have a look at log analytics. All right, so log analytics is the hero product of operations management suite. It's probably the most, itself and backup are definitely the most used services that I've seen at customers. So the first thing that RMS is going to provide you is the capability to ingest data. So we can grab logs from storage accounts. We can grab the Azure activity logs, so any events, start VM, stop VM, Ken created this, Ken created, deleted this. We can get all those kind of activity events. And we can also really easily add virtual machines. So if we go into Ignite Jenkins, Easy is doing a connect here. That's going to go and talk to the Microsoft Azure agent in the virtual machine. It's going to install the OMS agent, and that's going to configure it to connect to our OMS workspace. If you don't have the VMs on Azure, where do we provide that? In our docs, so we had a quick one here. In our docs side, anyway, we had instructions to install that agent if it's outside of Azure. So if it's in Azure, we can use the Azure agent to automate all this for you. If it's on-premise, then you'll need to download the OMS agent, and you need to just configure it with your OMS workspace ID and your shared key, and then you can start ingesting those logs into Azure. So if we load up the OMS portal from here. So if you just want to do log search, you can do that directly integrated into the Azure portal. It just opens up as another blade. Interwebs catches up. Let's just do everything. So we can do, I'm not a log analytics guy, but you can do a bunch of standard kind of log search operators on there. We can also, pipe that into an additional command, does auto auto-populate some features, so you can use some kind of standard log search syntax there. We can reduce the time frame that we want to look through based on custom or easy drag and drop if you're just looking for something recent. But if you go into the OMS portal, which is this link here, it'll open up the OMS portal directly, and then we can still do log search, which we've already had a look at, but then we can also get these extended solutions for OMS, which are going to provide some more insight and intelligence for particular workloads. So if we go into the solutions gallery, we've got a bunch of stuff here. So we can get events around Azure Backup. There's some more Linux-y stuff. So we've got container solution. So OMS will be ingesting logs at the moment from some servers that I'm running containers on. But unless I know what particular container logs and performance counters that I'm looking for, like I have to come up with those and create those operators, what the container solution does is it knows the standard kind of logs and performance metrics of containers, and it's going to create a nice container dashboard view of all my container logs. And we've also got things like update management, which we'll have a look at, which supports Windows and Linux, and it'll go out to all your VMs and check that the patches are up to date. And if they're not up to date, we can then automate. Within update management, we can say, please go and patch these VMs at this time. And that's actually going to automatically create a runbook in Azure Automation for us, so we don't need to do any of that. Very easy to get going. So let's go back to the dashboard. So let's have a look at update management first. So in here, I've got three VMs that are still running. They need security updates, and then we can kind of drill into what exact updates they need. And then this is where we go into manage update deployments, and we can simply create a schedule, give it a group of computers. So this is going to be supported on like the Microsoft certified Linux distributions. So we've got a subset of distributions on Azure that we have like more premium support around. So this is things like RHEL, Ubuntu, SUSE. So with those Linux distributions, firstly, we keep package repositories within Azure. So when you do a yum update on a RHEL or a CentOS, it's not going out outside of Azure. It's pulling the updates within Azure. And then that provides us with some insights as to, we have the package repository, we manage it, so we know what updates you should have. And we also receive the vulnerability CVE alerts from the Linux vendors as well, so we can make recommendations on that as well. Yeah. Create a group of computers that you want to update. There's no configuration as to what patches you're updating, so it's not as granular if you're already using an existing Linux, package management standard operating environment solution, or a configuration management tool like Puppet or Chef to manage this kind of thing. This is basically going to go to the VM. It's going to do like a yum update all yes, and it's just going to update everything. So if that's cool for your environment, great solution. But if you want to keep specific version levels for your environment, then you might want to look at something a little bit more granular. So the other solution I wanted to show you was the container solution. And in here we'll get a nice view of all the, we've got a bunch of Kubernetes clusters in Azure Container Service, and that's going to basically allow me to view all the kind of standard errors that I'm receiving, but also performance. So we're going to get memory usage of time, CPU usage over time, so we can kind of monitor our workload, see if there's a spike at all, and we can then drill in to that. We can see the time it happened. We can look for similar logs for that that might have attributed to that performance. So pretty neat solution here. So that's log analytics. The last one is Security Center. So you can think, we have some security solutions in log analytics. You can think of those as kind of after the fact. So after an event has happened, you can introspect, or the security add-on will look for certain patterns in log files to alert you of some security event that might have happened. Where Security Center is different is Security Center is more about preventative measures to improve your security. And we've got a bunch of native native Linux capabilities in Security Center as well. So they've updated the portal since last time I used this. So in here, we can see recommendations on Azure infrastructure. So here it's saying that I don't have a web application firewall, so I haven't set up a firewall on my resource groups. So it's recommending that I should do that. So we can go in here, and then makes it really easier for us to rectify that recommendation as well. So I could just click here and create a new web application firewall for this particular virtual machine. We're looking at things like disk encryption, but something here, lucky I've got a VM in there that's attached, is we look at system updates. So again, this is like another view of these are critical updates that you need to make based on vulnerability alerts from Linux vendors. And we can look in here, and I think it'll give us the CVE of some of these. The other very neat thing that we do is we actually have a look at how you've configured your virtual machine. So now we're looking at actual Linux configuration on your virtual machine and making recommendations on how to improve the configuration of your Linux operating system. So you've enabled SSH for root, bunch of other things. We're actually going to go inside all your VMs that are hooked up, and we're going to have a look at your configuration, and if they're not meeting best practices to secure those virtual machines, we're going to give you recommendations on that vulnerability with reference to a CVE. And we are going to even give you the resolution of most of those things as well. So we tell you what's wrong, we refer you to the associated documentation, and then we also give you, you know, the command that you need to run to remediate that. So it makes it really easy to improve the security and posture of your environment. Good question. I'm not sure off the top of my head. If you want to drop me an email, I'll come after. I'm happy to follow up with engineering, find out. So this is going to give us a... so we've had a look at the virtual machines. It's also going to make recommendations on networking applications if we've got stuff in app service. And we can basically get easy access to what are the most vulnerable areas of my environment in Azure, and how can I quickly remediate those to improve that. So that's It's for operations management suite. So we looked at backup, automation, log analytics, and security. Any other questions around OMS? Yep. Yeah, yep. So there was Alejandro Cardoso did a session yesterday on OMS. It'll be available on demand on Channel 9. But just to recap, so we're actually using FluentD as the agent. So we do a significant amount of contributions to the FluentD project now. And if you've already got FluentD set up on your environment, you can just point that to OMS as well. We can also ingest from like Splunk if you've got an existing Elk stack. We can ingest from System Center if you've got a System Center on-premise. So we can ingest from a number of different formats. You don't have to use our agent. You can use your own FluentD agent, or if you've got like Splunk on-premise, you can just, you know, ship everything off to OMS as well. And then equally, we can output to different dashboards. So if your ops team's using like Nagios or something, we can pump the information off to somewhere else as well. All righty. So lastly, troubleshooting VMs, Linux VMs on Azure. All right, so we'll go back to virtual machines. Pick on my little friend, Ignite Jenkins here. So if you haven't used Azure yet, you go into the VM, you're gonna get a bunch of information around, you know, standard, stuff from Azure Monitor, memory, CPU usage, disk usage. So you can get some insight as to how the VM's performing. But we also have a couple of things that you can do. So the first is boot diagnostics. So if you've enabled boot diagnostics for your virtual machine, we're going to grab the boot log and we're going to display it in the portal here for you. So you can basically search through that. Some of our also useful if you're using some of the marketplace images from some of our vendors. So, for example, Bitnami do some really cool images where they pre-install, you know, MongoDB or MySQL, so you can get those images on demand. And they actually use they create a unique password when they provision your VM and put it in the boot log. So you can search for that here, using standard browser search. Just hit Control F and it searches in this pane. The other thing, so you can download that log, and you can also, hopefully this VM's not in using power saving, which it is. Here's one I prepared earlier before the VM went to sleep. So nothing super exciting here. This is just a RHEL VM before it went into power saving mode and shut off the screen. But you know, if you had a boot problem, so you know, a mount error or something, you could grab the screenshot and this would give you some insight as to what's causing that error. If it's not available in the logs. The other thing we can do is we can reset your SSH public key. We can reset your password if you're using a password. And we can also reset the SSH configuration. So if someone went in and their SSH key is working fine, but they decided they wanted to disable SSH daemon. This will go in and just fix that up, make sure everything's enabled and configured to work. So really easy to jump in here and put in a new SSH key and user. If the user doesn't exist, it's going to go and create them, and it'll give them pseudo privilege as well. So when I SSH in with this user, I'll have pseudo privileges on the VM. We can also trigger this on PowerShell via the Azure command line, which is cross-platform, so you can use it on Mac and Linux as well. And we can also do it for Azure Resource Manager. So if you wanted to automate your rolling SSH keys for some rogue ops guys just quit and is bitter and twisted, you want to rotate your keys on all the servers, you can automate that too. So, but if you just want to, you're just troubleshooting one VM, easy to do via the portal. You can also redeploy your VM. So that is useful if you, especially if you've made changes maybe to the disk configuration on Azure, or more useful if you want to deploy a whole resource group. So often I've went in and deleted something because I thought I knew what I was doing and then my app didn't work. You can just click redeploy and it'll redeploy that environment as it was provisioned. Obviously you'd need Azure backup as well if you want to restore data in there, but useful to remediate if you've misconfigured the Azure virtual network or the attached disk and stuff. What else were we going to show? Custom scripts. So we also have virtual machine extensions. And this is going to... So we can see here, I've already got the OMS agent. So that's installed the agent for me as an extension. And extensions allow us to basically install a bunch of different agents. Or we can also do things like install and run Docker. And we can also just run a custom script. So in here we can upload a script file, which I don't have. And then we can execute that script, or we can just execute an arbitrary command. So if you've already got script up on GitHub or somewhere, you can run a wget and pipe it through to bash and then execute that script on your VM. Again, I'm just looking at the portal here because it's better demo, but you can execute these from the command line, from PowerShell and from Azure Resource Manager if you want to automate it. All right, so any questions on troubleshooting Linux VMs? All good? All right. Cool. So pretty much it. So yeah, key takeaway mainly, if it runs on Linux, it runs on Azure. We support all the major distributions. We even support a number of unique distributions, lesser known like ClearOS, CoreOS, Rancher. So pretty much whatever you've got, we support it. And we also have some really great support on Azure for running Linux VMs. So we had a look at Operations Management Suite to manage your VMs, whether they're Linux or Windows, whether they're on Azure, on-premise, or another cloud. We had a look at DevTest Labs to accelerate development and test environments and reduce friction via cost and image control. And we had a look at some of the native troubleshooting tools that we provide for Linux virtual machines. So, if you can fill out your Ignite feedback surveys as well, but also don't forget the aka.ms/OSS feedback survey to win a Raspberry Pi and a shirt. If you haven't tried Azure, you can get a free trial. I think it lasts for a couple of months and gives you a bunch of credits to use on any of the services. I think even once those credits expire, you can still get free access to, for example, OMS has a free tier. A couple of our services have free tiers, so you can continue to use them. Or if you have an Azure subscription already, you can kick the tires on OMS on the free tier without paying for it. And highly recommend you check out our new MOOCs training, so a massively open online courseware. If you go to openedx.microsoft.com, we provide basically the training that's required to get Azure certified. It's basically free, it's on demand, and it's the same kind of training that you'll need to go and get the Azure certifications. And there's a bunch of other ones around the Azure certification. So we've got some DevOps stuff, application development. It's a really good way to get free access to get started. That's it, although it appears I've got more slides. All right, don't forget to complete your eval, as we said, to win a chance to compete for the pilot pass. And that's me. Unless there's any other questions, feel free to come and grab me after or grab me around the conference. Thanks for coming.